Hello and welcome to Pullbox Picks. My name is Dave Slusher. Pullbox Picks is a proud member of the Reader Feed. Thank you very much to Derek Coward and the Reader Feed for the hosting and for being the parent organization of this show. The show notes will be up at thereaderfeed.com. This episode is a do-over. I'm going to cover the series Saga from Image Comics. I had originally recorded an episode for issues 1 through 4, which took me so long to edit and get to Derek Coward that in the time that I failed to do that, issues 5 and 6 came out, which concluded the first story arc, and there seemed no point in posting the other. So here we go. Saga is a series from Image Comics. It's written and co-created by Brian K. Vaughan, and Fiona Staples is the co-creator and artist. And it is, the setting of this thing is kind of like, it's been described as, I think, Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings. I think Brian K. Vaughan described it as that. It's got fantasy tropes, it's got science fiction tropes. The overarching, you know, idea is that there are two planets that are at war, and they are kind of locked in orbit around the same star. And they can't do much to each other, because if they do, it would destabilize the orbits of each other. Maybe they're like binary planets in a star. I don't know exactly how all this works. So I think maybe they're in the same orbit. So what they do is they don't fight each other on their home planets. They outsource is the word they use in the descriptions. They outsource this war to lots of other colonized planets. And so the premise, the story, issue one, I will, there, as always, this will remain spoiler free, but issue one, page one, involves a birth. Two of the combatants have split off from the war, both gone AWOL, gotten married, and are having a child. And that's how the series begins, is with the birth of the child. Panel one is where that happens. And so it's a very interesting premise. We've got Marco, who is a Wreath soldier, who lays down his arms, becomes a prisoner of war. And Wreath is kind of like the magic-y fantasy end of this. And he's guarded by Alana, who is from the, oh, what's the name of the thing? She's from the Coalition of Landfall, and that's kind of more the science fiction-y trope, where they're a highly technological society. And so the two of them kind of have a child that is a distillation of both of these worlds and both of the kind of the genetic makeup of each. And here's what first attracted me to the story. I pre-ordered it in previews, which is good because it sold out left and right, and it's the only way I ended up with printing number one, because it was sold out prior to even hitting the stores. That there was a controversy over the Kevin one featuring Alana breastfeeding. And Dave Dorman, a well-known kind of cover artist, science fiction cover artist, was saying that that was exploitative. And in my opinion, that is exactly the opposite of exploitative. You think about all the breasts, exposed and unexposed, that you've seen in comic books and science fiction art. How many times are they used for their actual evolutionary purpose? This is the only one I can remember. So to me, that's the opposite of exploitative. But that controversy actually is what brought it to my attention. And then I took it a second look in previews and I said, ah, what the hell, I'm going to pre-order this. Did not hurt that at the time that all this was happening, I had, you know, at the time that I pre-ordered from previews, I believe my baby was 11 months, something like that. So I'm fairly attuned to these types of issues. And so it was interesting, and I got it. And reading issue one, and this persisted through the whole, you know, first arc, it's got a very satisfying weirdness to it. It's surreal. Some of this is from the mixing of the tropes, but everything's just off. There's enough familiarity and, you know, and Fiona Staples' art really sells this, that things seem familiar and they seem horribly wrong at the same time. And that to me is what kind of what makes this story compelling, is there's this slight dissonance. It's like, you know, it's like a song being slight, it's like song having a weird key structure that you would never notice consciously, but just something just keeps pulling you into it. It's like, what is it about this? And so I feel that way about reading this. We've got, you know, we've got all these science fiction-y fantasy tropes. There's magic cast around, but there's also the robot coalition who is tracking down this couple, who, you know, the humanoid people with TV heads, and Prince Robot IV is looking for them. And by himself, You see this guy with a TV head named Prince Robot the Fourth. That by itself, knowing nothing else about it, regardless of what he does, that's compelling to me. Because it's like, you just keep reading to think, okay, what the hell is all this? There are freelancers set out to chase this couple down. And so basically, the structure of this whole thing is that everybody wants to capture these people. And I think everybody also wants to claim the baby alive because the baby is kind of emblematic of this war. The baby is a symbol of this war to everybody. And controlling the baby controls power. Plus, you know, neither of the warring factions kind of wants this out and about because they don't, you know, it's an armistice. It's a morale issue. It's like, hey, look, we don't actually have to fight. Look what we can do. We could be making babies together and it would be fine. And so there's freelancers, which are mercenary assassins for hire. And it's interesting that everybody knows they're freelancers because of their name structure. And the two that we see on camera are the Stalk and the Will. So if you're named the Noun, you're a freelance assassin. And everybody knows this. What got me is they're named like rappers, basically, or rock star, the Edge, you know, of the street. And, you know, it's interesting. And they kind of, you know, these guys look interesting. And they've got, you know, they wear capes. And so everything about this is compelling. I find the characters compelling. I find the milieu compelling. The fact that the action is basically centered around the priorities of A, keep baby alive, B, keep us alive, C, keep moving and escape. And I believe that it was Bruce Sterling a long time ago. I read him as saying that having children completely changed the nature of his fiction, because you read fiction that, you know, action adventure driven fiction of people where the characters have children, and the children are so innocuous. They go off screen and they're well behaved. Then in real life, nothing's like that. your kids are never that, you know, kids are never that far. You remove from the action. They're always what you're thinking about. And so the fact that, you know, Alana has to fire shots while holding the baby. Sometimes she's had to fire shots while breastfeeding the baby. That to me is fantastic, because this is my life, right? Everything is about, okay, step one, if I don't do this, I got to do this to keep my baby alive. You know, oh, look, she's trying to overturn the hot pan on her. No, we don't want that. Oh, look, she wants to play with the outlet. No, we don't want that. You know, so the fact that this action-adventure, you know, let's say that it's not that far outside of the realm of ordinary in terms of the plot. You know, we've seen this plot before, but this makes it so different to me that it's wildly interesting. And I do want to, pretty much as the last thing as I wrap it up, I want to mention the writing. The writing, probably one of the things that a lot of people like about it, is in fact really the only thing that detracts to me. And this is part of my ongoing kind of war against the cutesiness of dialogue. And the dialogue here really does have a propensity for cutesiness. I have managed to miss reading anything else by Brian K. Vaughan. Never read Ex Machina, never read Why the Last Man. So, you know, I'm unfamiliar with her. This is my introduction to him. In the same way that everyone loves the writing of Aaron Sorkin, and I find it just arch and artificial and unbelievable, the writing is kind of like this. And I almost was put off on it at the very beginning of issue one because it had a lot of bantery, you know, moonlighting. If you're old, you'll remember the Moonlighting TV show with Bruce Willis. It had that style of banter, like, push, I hope I don't poop. If I poop, you'll never think of me the same way. Oh, I hope you will never think of me the same way. Tell me you're not into that. So that was like page one and page two, and I was like thinking, is this how this is going to be? And so Alana's dialogue in particular tends to be kind of like that, and there tends to be a lot of cutesiness. Everything else is so strong, I'm willing to overlook the cutesiness, but I haven't forgotten the cutesiness is there, and I kind of wish it wasn't. But that is my particular quirk. A lot of people don't have that quirk. A lot of people maybe even prefer cutesy writing. It's just to my taste, that's a weakness. But I would give this series a high recommendation. Issues 1 through 6 are out. If you haven't already got it, unlikely you're going to get first printings of a lot of these issues. They said there's a couple-month hiatus being taken after issue 6 and before issue 7. 1 through 6 is a complete story arc, not a complete story by any means, but will be collected in trade, I think, and the trade is coming out around the time the hiatus ends. So if you're so inclined, the trade would probably be a good place to join in. The single issues are, if you want letter columns, and they're trying very hard to have kind of an active old-school letter column community, which Vaughn says will never be collected, so you got to buy the floppies if you want them. It should also be noted the floppies are at $2.99, and issue 1 was 44 pages of story, and still at $2.99. And he said one of the reasons why he went with Image is because he can have a contract which will specify the issues are never more than $2.99, and he can control all the kind of stuff like that, and no other publisher would let him do that. So seems like he's kind of a stand-up guy on this. Issues, if you're into the whole ephemera of the comic, if you just want the story, get the trade. But either way, I'm going to give this a very high buy recommendation. I dig it. I like it very much. And I think if you have any interest in science fiction, fantasy, you know, any kind of old school action adventure, I think you will like it too. This is Dave Slusher for Pullbox Picks. Thanks for listening. I'm gonna see.